Certainly good to be back in fellowship with you this morning, and I count it such a blessing that we have the fellowship that we do, and especially amongst the four churches of the Gulf Coast Fellowship and all of the other churches that are immediately located all around us. What great fellowship it is with Little Vine and Graceful and Chipley and all the other churches around. It's just such a blessing that the Lord has brought us together, that how can two men walk together lest they be agreed? And I think we're all agreed, certainly, on the need and the necessity of God's people worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That is an absolute necessity for all of God's children, in spirit and in truth. The only way you can do that in spirit is to come together. Doesn't mean we're just sitting side by side. It means that we have one common goal in mind. And yes, there are goals that are allowable in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is the things that they're utmost desired by the children of God. And that is to worship Him in a manner that is pleasing to God. I've always found that if it's pleasing to God, we'll kind of like it too. However, sometimes things that are pleasing to man, not always pleasing to God. If you have your Bibles with us this morning, and we trust that you do, you might turn with us, if you so desire, to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 23. There's some things here that I've talked about before, and certainly this seems to be on my mind this morning, for there are boundaries that need to be established for God's children. God has established boundaries, and they're found throughout the Word of God. A boundary is simply a line that has been drawn that we are not to cross. There are things that are to be kept out by a line or a boundary. You might call it a fence of some sense. There are things that are to be kept out, and there are things to be kept in. And certainly it should be a secure fence. I'm reminded that last night I talked briefly with Brenda. She was very disturbed, and I don't know about y'all, but when your companion is a little disturbed, it makes you a little bit disturbed. It seems that the door to the storage room, when she got home visiting with her daughter last night, having supper with them, the storage room door was open in the backyard. Now, there's a 6-foot high metal or iron fence in the front that has spikes sticking up on top, which is not conducive to climbing. If you do so, you better do it very carefully. And then it has a 6-foot wooden fence all the way around the other that's quite close together, and a little deep slide on the backside next to a church that backs up to us. And not easy to get over that fence, you know, unless you've got some cherry picker or something pick you can put over the top. So to see it open disturbed her greatly. And so she called the son-in-law. He came over and checked everything else for her, checked it out, and made her feel a lot better, especially when she looked in the storage room and saw everything that she pretty well felt was there, because most of that stuff is my stuff like tools and saws and so forth. And what all she saw was pretty comforting to her, the things that she was able to see. You know, we have boundaries. We have that fence around the yard for a purpose. It's not that we dislike our neighbors any more than they dislike us. We all get along. However, it's not for them. It's for other elements in the world that we desire to at least slow them down a little bit. Well, life is that way. We have things out there that at best, sometimes we can do is just slow it down a little bit. But certainly with the help of the Lord, we can put a stop to it. And we can keep it from affecting us to where there are adverse consequences of those things that affect us. So as we look now at chapter 23, let's begin, if you would, at let's just look at verse 31 to begin. And the Lord, speaking through Moses, says, I will set thy bounds. Now, this is a physical bounds that the Lord is establishing, from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. See, here's bounds that have been established by God, and the Lord said there's some things inside that need to be cast outside. Now, I think sometimes when we think about the child of God, even when he is born again of the Spirit of God, even when he comes to an understanding of the truth, there may be some things inside that need to be cast outside. So those things we might have held on to, I know the Bible tells us that those things I once loved, I now hate, and those things I once hate, I now love. And we understand that comes only after the new birth, after being born again of the Spirit of God. But even with the new birth, there are still things within our fleshly nature that will affect us if we don't effectively remove them from us. They can become, as Paul had, a thorn in the side. Now, you may have your thoughts, and I have certainly mine, on what that might have been, but it becomes a thorn in the side to us if we do not remove those things that God says we need to remove and put outside of that fence or outside of that boundary that God establishes of just and rightness in our lives. Now, notice, if you would, what it says, "And from the desert unto the river, for I would deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand." Here's a promise that God is making. God doesn't make foolish promises or promises that he cannot keep. Now, every once in a while, I'll mess up. I'm sure you two preachers have never done that. Or, Brother Paul, you've never done that. Remember, there's three here. So when we think of all what preachers have to put up with, I'm sure that none of y'all have ever had to worry about that. But here's the situation, he says, that cast them doubt. And he says, "I promise that I shall drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant." Here's an agreement, he's saying. Don't make an agreement with those that are there. He says, "nor with their gods." Otherwise, be careful, because when you go into this land and amongst the inhabitants that are already there, there are going to be some things within that boundary of the land that I'm going to give thee. There are going to be some things going on there that you do not need to get involved in. You know, in the household of faith, even in the church, we have to set up boundaries within the church. And it's called church discipline. And some of us, sometimes there's things we have to take care of. And sometimes we kind of let slide a little bit. But you know, there comes a time we'll have to take care of it in order that we please God. Now, here's the situation where he says, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods," the things they're worshiping. If you go back and follow a man by the name of Solomon, you'll find that in following Solomon, there's one thing that he fell into. He began to allow these unknown gods, so to speak, to encompass his land. Because of the flesh, he allowed them to linger. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about that, just go read about the life of Solomon a little bit, and you'll find out what he allowed to stay because of the flesh. And sometimes the flesh will cause you to, I won't say overlook some things, but you will let some things slide because you just don't want to stir the pot. I'm no different. I'm just as guilty as probably some of you may be. Now, there's always consequences for our actions. You know, in being a school teacher, and some of you have done some of the same things or been involved in education, you know that there's always those things that go on in school, and sometimes we're scared of the consequences. We're scared of what's going to happen as a consequence. Well, I need to understand there are consequences in both directions, both for that child and for the teacher. There's certain types of consequences if you don't take care of it or if you do take care of it. Sometimes they are good consequences, sometimes they're not. However, here's a consequence that the Lord is telling them, if you don't drive them out, if you don't do what I'm telling you, there's going to be some bad consequences as a result. The good consequence was, he says, he promised them the land. It was going to be theirs. Notice what he says. "And they shall not dwell in thy land, lest thou make they sin against me." That is getting involved with the things that are there cause you to mess up. "For if thou serve their gods," now here comes the consequence, "it will surely be a snare unto thee." Now, I don't know about y'all, but a snare is a trap. I remember as a child, I tried to make, Brother J.C. was talking about some things in 4-H and all. One of the things that we had to learn in school in one little group was how to make a snare. And I never was real good at it. In fact, I never did catch a bird in my snare. I had a couple of them kind of looked at it and got a little enticed, but they were a little bit smarter than I was and never did enter into it. But it was a snare to catch or entrap something. I promise you this morning that Satan is going about. This is his land in the sense that God said that he was the master of it. He was, in the sense, the head of the land of the earth, so much so that he is the prince of the earth. That's the word I was looking for. That the Bible refers to him as the prince of the earth and prince of the air. Well, as Satan is going about seeking whom he may devour, he has many that are in his charge that are listening to him that will get you into trouble and tell you it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. This is the norm now. If you don't know, if you don't believe about the norm, just turn on the television a little bit. We've turned on to watch a favorite music program the other night for a little bit. And you can't even watch a good, decent program, and there's only a few on. You can't even watch one of those without the commercials infringing with inside your boundary. There are certain things that I have as a boundary that we have in our home that we just do not allow in. But you see, Satan is so sneaky that he will put it now even in a Hardee's commercial. Now, I'm not saying that for you to go to Hardee's. I'm just simply saying they're using even things like a hamburger to entice you away. Ever watch one of those commercials, you know what I'm talking about. And it is vanity. It is something that you don't need to be involved in because it's infiltrating the minds of our young people, and not only them, but anybody else that will succumb to it. See, God has set forth boundaries. We have to. I have a on and off switch, and it works. And I found that out. But he says, it will surely be a snare unto you. Well, I want to just turn over, and it's not very far away in the book of Deuteronomy. And let's take a look just for a moment in chapter 7, verse 3. Now, again, he's talking about those boundaries. He says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. You see, that's another one of the boundaries. There is something here that the Lord is impressing upon his children, and he tells them very specifically, don't marry them. Don't marry or become unequally yoked with unbelievers. If they don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't need to be spending your life with them. It's a plain statement to all the young people. You need to understand that if we're going to get married, marry somebody that has the same values that you have, and your values need to be at the top of the list. And he says, neither shall they make marriage with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son, for they will... Now here's the consequence. Here's what's going to happen when you do that. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. God doesn't mess around. When God lays forth and sets his boundaries, he means exactly what he's saying. Every child in here, from the youngest to the oldest, and I don't know who the oldest child is, but some of you probably up in your 70s or 80s, and you're the only oldest child in here. Because if you're a child of God, you're a child of the King. And you need to have boundaries established in your life. Because any life worth having is a life that should be set forth in spirit and in truth. It should be just and upright before the Lord. Now, if you, in going a little bit further this morning, let's go over to the book of Joshua. It's not very far away. In chapter 23 of the book of Joshua. Now, as we turn over to Joshua in chapter 23, let's begin at about verse 6. Joshua chapter 23, verse 6. Be therefore very courageous. I like that word. I love to be courageous. You know, the Bible teaches us, and it uses this terminology. It says, be bold as a lion. Now, I believe that can tie in very well to being courageous. Because a lion is looked to be that. He says, be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Well, we can take that over into the New Testament age and say, keep the commandments of God. And the Lord says, keep my commandments, and they are not grievous. Then he says, that ye turn not aside. See, now, if you turn aside, you're getting outside the boundaries. That's simply what that means. If you succumb to the temptations of the world, of what somebody says, come on, let's go do this Saturday night, mom and daddy will never know. Let me remind you who your father is. Your father is God, and God does not miss a trick. He knows all things. He knows where we are, even at 10:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Then he says, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Now, what does it tell us? He says, don't turn to the right, nor turn to the left. When you're going down the road, you don't want to just turn to the right, you wind up in the ditch. You don't want to turn to the left, you'll wind up in the ditch. But what we are indicating here is there is a straight and narrow way that is acceptable unto the Lord. And that is the boundary that is established. I used this indication or this application many years ago. In fact, when I first started preaching, and I've used it a number of times since, and I still like it. It's kind of like a sidewalk. And you know, on both sides of the sidewalk, some little lady has loved her yard so much that she has planted some very beautiful little flowers down both sides of that sidewalk. You know, everything is peachy queen, peachy good, if you just stay on the sidewalk. But if you don't pay attention and you let your mind wander out there and looking at other things other than that straight and narrow path, you know what you're going to do? You run the risk of some consequences. The consequence is you step on those little flowers and she gets upset. You ever heard that? My daddy used to use that a lot. He didn't say upset. He said, son, I'm getting upset. Now, I knew when he's doing that, I'd done stepped off that sidewalk and I'd stepped on some little flowers there, and that any time you do, there's a consequence. Stop for a moment and think about the consequences when you step off that sidewalk. One, you can turn your ankle. You can get a broke ankle or a sprained ankle. There's consequences for you, but there's consequences for others. Those little tender flowers, those little children of God that observe you will see you stepping off the sidewalk, and as a result, they said, well, you know, mom and daddy did it, or grandpa and granddaddy did it. Wouldn't it much better for them to see you walking the straight and narrow way of service unto God, walking within God's boundaries and adhering to his commandments? That gives them a much better pattern to follow than stepping off that sidewalk and crushing one of those little flowers. Sometimes they get crushed, and with a little tender loving care, they may come back. They may spring on back up and survive. But other times, Brother J.C., they don't make it. You step on one of them, and they never come back to be in, even in the church house of the living God. How can you crush one? Well, sometimes it's just by your immediate actions. I had this occur one time at a church I was pastoring, and it's been a number of years ago. There was a lady that made a caramel cake. I'd never eaten one until I was pastoring that church. Her caramel cake was to die for, so to speak. It was just melt in your mouth. It was so good. And yet there was another sister one day brought a caramel cake also. And it was sitting on the table. And I'm sure it was a good cake as well, but maybe not quite as good as some thought as the other. One sister looking there, and she says, oh, that's not Sister So-and-so's caramel cake. There it is. I want that. Little sister was standing right behind her. And you know what? She stepped off that sidewalk, that lady did, for just a moment. Even though she was not intending harm, harm happened. This little sister had her feelings hurt. Simple words of stepping off the sidewalk, her feelings got crushed. You see, there's a lot of ways to step outside the boundaries of God. And one of those is, he says, let your conversation be what? Yea, yea, and nay, nay. We have to be careful what we're saying and where we are. Best thing is just don't say it. You don't have a problem. Then he says, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods. Did y'all get that one little part? He said, don't even make mention of them. Now, I have a problem with that sometimes. Sometimes I give them credence by just bringing them up or mentioning them. Maybe it'd be best if just didn't talk about them at all. I have a problem with that. I have to work on that. He says, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But, now here's the good admonition. Cleave unto the Lord. Stay in your boundary is what he's saying. Cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Don't change. Don't waver from that. Stay within the boundaries that God has established, and there's good consequences instead of being bad or evil consequences. Oh, goodness. How bad do you want to preach? Let's go to Proverbs, and then I'll close out. I don't know what happened to the time. It just absolutely flew. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 for just a moment, and then we'll close, and we'll let you have it. In the book of Proverbs, let's go to chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 8. Now he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. You know what this instruction is? He is establishing the boundary. He's setting and establishing a boundary. Hear the instruction and forsake not the law of thy mother. Oh, who's the law of the mother this morning? Who is our father? It's God. Who is our mother? It's the church of the living God. And we need to observe that and honor that, for they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head. You know, some of you brethren can remember, and you sisters, years ago when I was a child, the front end of an automobile had an ornament on it. You remember the old Pontiacs, and they had an Indian chief's head on the ornament? You know, it was declaration. It called attention to that automobile, didn't it? It made it more recognizable. He says, for they should be as an ornament of grace under thy head. How much better than you can get than you've got an ornament of grace to expound upon, and others can see thy good works and glorify God by letting your light shine. Show that ornament that he says is there. And he says, chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thee not. Stay within the boundaries. Don't go outside the boundaries. Now, in this passage of scripture, and I'm sorry, I can't go on, I'll go off and leave this. There are four let-us's here. Four let-us's. Now, when you go back and read these let-us's, we need to be careful about. Now, the first one here, he says in verse 11, he says, if they say, now this is those that are not doing good. These that are outside the boundary. And notice what the Lord says, if they say, come with us. Let us. Does that sound like someone that is self-centered? Someone that is after their own enticement, their own self-pleasure, rather than giving pleasure unto God? That's what's happening to these individuals. They said, let us. Not, let's do the Lord's will. It's but a let us. Then he said, let us lay wait for blood. Then he go on, here's the second one. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. These are not good things because they're outside the boundary of God. Then he drops down a little bit in verse 12. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave. These are those that are not walking in the precepts of God. These are the evil ones. And they're saying, let us do this. And whole as those that go down to the pit. Then in verse 14, cast in thy lot amongst us. Isn't that what the world is telling you today? They're telling you, go ahead, step outside your fence. Drop your boundaries. Put them down. You don't need these fences. Just let everybody in. Everybody is created equal. Everybody's the same. No, they're not. We're within the boundaries of God as born again children of God. He says, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You see, I need to remind you about the purse and how evil that was, and the selling of the money on individuals and even the Son of God. Verse 15, and I'll close. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Oh, there's so much more. But just simply remember this if you don't remember anything else. God's got boundaries. You'll find them in the Word of God. If you'll stay within the boundaries, old Satan's still out there, but he'll not bother you to the vast extent that if you turn your back, get outside the boundaries, because that's where he is dwelling, seeking to devour you. May God bless you to stay within the boundaries of God. Amen.